morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here on this gorgeous weekend and this beautiful day. Hope we'll get you out and let you enjoy the sunshine and some activities. Several announcements. First, I want to thank Jim Teggy and his construction company sent some of his men down to paint the outside doors. So if you notice that they're brighter, especially the one at the back, I just noticed it right away. And then the peak right out front has been painted. So thanks to Mr. Jim Teggy and his construction company. And want to thank Lynn Carson. She is Lynn Love. I'm sorry, boy. Lynn Carson Love. How about that? Old habits are hard to break sometimes. She is filling in for Bill Mueller for our treasurer for about 4 to 6 weeks because they've gone to Colorado for the birth of his grandchild and waiting on news so whether he has been born yet. So if anybody knows, you can let me know. Clara has been working, interviewing prospective secretaries and found one. And so she will begin work. Her name is Lynn Garvey. So, yeah, very excited. I know some have been doing the bulletin. And she had met with her, then wanted me to meet with her, and I came down. I met with her for about an hour and was very impressed, felt very comfortable with her. So thank both of these ladies for what they've done for the church. There's so many people all the time to thank and forget it and then call people wrong names. But at least we're trying. Communion is being served today. We invite all to partake. Just remember to hold your elements until we are served together. There are scripture readers because Bill Mueller has been doing it so much, and we need people for June and July. You can sign up on the table in the back. Last week I said there was a sign-up sheet, and there wasn't. There is now. Vincentian Academy, a Christian school, is holding Eat Well, Move Well, Think Well. Well, I need to go to that. Saturday, June 7th. For more details, you can see the flyer in the back. Valley Garden is starting up. You can see Jim. Congregation meeting today after the worship service to present the audited financials and also to vote on investment change. And you'll be informed more about that in just a little while. And Vacation Bible School, July the 14th through the 18th, and still need helpers and teachers. So we thank everyone for everything that everyone does and just being here and be a part of Glenshaw Valley. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this morning is Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, 233.
Alleluia, sing.
worship continue with prayers, confession, as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your eternal love. We are grateful that you always watch us. We are thankful that your angels watch over us. Forgive us when we fail to believe that you care for us.
Give each of us a glimpse into the spiritual realm of life. Remind us that there is more to this world than what we can see with our eyes. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to find the courage to be witnesses for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us on this beautiful day reaffirm our faith with our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Still, if you're not sure of someone's name, ask them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our responsive reading, a contemporary affirmation of faith, 718 in the back of your hymnals. 718, a contemporary affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, his Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is the guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
This time I invite Elva on the door for the prayer and praise request.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Just found out I was the elder on the door this morning, so. Suzanne Connors, prayers for prayer regularly for good test results. Okay, we have one from Adele Miller for Loretta Maseth. It's a friend of hers. She's in severe pain, multiple surgeries, and none of them's been helpful, so we'll pray for her. Sandy Salmon requests prayers for her husband, Pat Salmon. Prayers for his health. May his condition stay stable enough to bring him home to us. And then I'd like a prayer request for my wife that her foot heals up. She has her doctor's appointment next week, so a week from tomorrow. So this is about you running out of surgeries there. Okay, we have praise request from Kathy Sagi for her son Michael. He turned 18 today. Happy birthday. And thank you for the most wonderful 18 years of my life. You're such a caring, wonderful man. I am so proud to be called your mom, and I love you. And one from Sandy Salmon for the Perry family. This is a prayer request. Dear friend Shirley Perry, who passed away, may she rest in peace. May the family have comfort during this most difficult time. Okay.
As we go to the Lord in prayer, let's just remember our church as a whole, the new secretary, and people as they begin to go on their vacations, traveling safely, having a good vacation, and returning safely. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you because this is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice in it. As we know, sometimes life just takes us to the mountaintop and we're so happy and everything seems good. Then we level out and then sometimes we drop into a valley and we feel despair and hopelessness and don't know which way to turn. Remind us always to turn to you in prayer, Bible study, fellowship, worship. Always to look to you. Look for your Holy Spirit to minister to us, but also your guardian angels to be with us, to pray for them, to guide us and to help us and to protect us. Well, we do that today for all these persons who have been mentioned, all the different situations. We ask that your Holy Spirit and your angels are with each one of us, guiding us, protecting us, helping us in every area of our life. We thank you that you have never left us, never forsook us, and you never will for all of eternity. We are so thankful that you have given us life, even with the struggles that we have at times. But there's so many good things, so many wonderful things about us. Help us to focus on that, to remain positive, even when things are bleak, to talk to you and know that you are with us and to give us that strength. And help us as Christians reach out to others and give them some of our strength that we've already received from you, that we can edify the body of Christ and lift it up and help people, the world, see that we too, not only angels, are messengers of your goodwill, your eternal salvation, that we can help, that we can help set them on the right path to eternal life. We lift everyone up, every situation, all those unspoken. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And we thank you for Jesus and his wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, the screen song, is God is My Refuge. What it means to each of us and our families, the gift of the abundant life here upon earth, the promise of eternal salvation for all eternity, to be with you, to be with the saints that have gone before, our family members who have passed, and those who will come after we enter glory. We thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers us. And we thank you for your heavenly host of angels that minister to us and give us messages and help us and guide us. Let us be the church that you have called us to be. Help us be that church. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Leonard sent me the scripture earlier in the week, and when you get something just from Leonard, I was looked at it like, oh no, what does that mean? He's sending it to me, and I read through it, and I don't get it. And then I realized my wife signed us up to read the scripture today. So. I understand this one a lot more than I have in the past. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Bless the reading and the hearing of the scripture.
I got a few scriptures I may send you. Personal ones. There are over 300 direct or indirect references to scripture of angels. And that's a lot of talk about angels. Bestsellers regularly have popular titles about angels. Bookstores have whole sections when we used to have bookstores. On Patty Duke, remember her hosted an NBC special called Angels, the Mysterious Messengers. Michael Landon starred for 5 years as an angel sent to earth to assist mortals in Highway to Heaven. And CBS had one in the same vein on Saturday nights called Touched by an Angel. According to Time Magazine and the CNN poll, 69% of American adults believe in the existence of angels. 46 believe they have their own guardian angel. And almost one-third, or 32%, say they have at one time or another personally felt an angelic presence in their lives. And that's a lot. If there's such a thing as a universal idea, one that cuts across cultural and religious lines through the centuries, it is the belief in angels. Not only do Christians, Jews, and Muslims believe in angels, But Buddhism and Hinduism also have angels in their religious beliefs. Winged figures appear in primitive Sumerian carvings, Egyptian tombs, and Assyrian reliefs, and angels litter the landscape from ancient times to the present day. So what should we make of angels? Billy Graham was asked this question years ago in an interview, and he answered a quote like this: "Angels belong to a uniquely different dimension of creation we can scarcely comprehend. God has given angels higher knowledge, power, and mobility than we people. They are God's messengers and ministering spirits whose chief business is to carry out God's orders in the world. God has given them an ambassadorial charge, designated and empowered them as holy deputies. Angels speak, they appear, and they reappear." So what does the Bible say about angels? First of all, the term angels is derived from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. Angels, or angelos and the Hebrew equivalent malak, are the two most common terms used to describe this class of being of angels. In general, in texts where an angel appears, the task is to convey the message or to do something on behalf of God. Since the focus of the text is on the message, the messenger is rarely described in detail. So in other words, we don't know a whole lot about angels. Another set of terms used to describe angels focus not on angels as mediators between God and us, but on God's heavenly entourage. Terms such as sons of God, holy ones, and heavenly hosts seem to focus on angels as celestial beings. They worship God, attend God's throne, or comprise God's army. These terms are used typically in contexts emphasizing the grandeur, the power, and the mighty acts of God. Another category of heavenly beings is that of winged angels, ones we are probably most familiar hearing of, cherubim and seraphim. Make their most memorable appearances in the visions of Ezekiel and Isaiah in the Old Testament. Cherubim function primarily as guards or attendants to the divine throne. And they were placed as armed guards at the entrance to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve were banished, and those cute, cuddly pictures of little chubby cherubs does not reflect the biblical angels. Some artist came up with that, and it's been popular ever since. I've even had them hanging in my own home. Seraphim appear only in Isaiah's vision, attend God's throne, and offer praise to God. And angels are heavenly beings in service to God, first of all. Now, some scholars suggest that a heavenly host, or that is, an army of angels, must have order and references to archangels in Thessalonians and Jude, and a special class of angels which has intimate fellowship with God, such as the seraphim of Isaiah, indicate that angels are organized in a very rigid, fixed system, like a caste system. In the early Middle Ages, a writer who claimed to be Dionysius of the book of Acts 17, took that idea and produced a ranking of angels. His order was later adopted by Thomas Aquinas and was not seriously challenged until the Protestant Reformation. And according to Dionysius, the angels are arranged in three ranks, each rank having three groups or choirs. The highest rank, the seraphim and cherubim and thrones, is the closest to God. The second rank is made up of dominions, powers, and authorities. The lowest rank, principalities, archangels, and angels, has the most direct contact with humanity. This is a very intriguing idea to try to do this, but it is not necessarily true that they are ranked like this. Some of these, I don't even think, are angels at all in those categories. But where did angels come from? The Bible does not say other than to affirm that since only God is eternal, angels must be created beings. They're not ghosts. They're not spirits of the dead. They do not spend time trying to earn their wings like the sweetly ministering Clarence in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Fantastic concept, but just not real. No place in Christian theology do we find any reference to human beings becoming angels. So what do angels look like? In the Bible, the appearance of angels varies. Only cherubim and seraphim are represented with wings. Often in the Old Testament, angels appear as ordinary men. Sometimes, however, their uniqueness is evident as they do things or appear in a fashion that is clearly non-human. The brilliant, white, radiant appearance common to the New Testament angel is not even a feature of the Old Testament angel. Now, how about gender? Are there male angels and female angels? At some point, the Jesus words in Mark 12 about there not being marriage in heaven, instead, we will be like the angels. So many have interpreted this as meaning that angels are sexless, no gender. But then there is a passage in Genesis 6, which has always kind of confused me, which says the sons of God, or some people say this, are angels, saw the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives for themselves of all that they chose. In other words, I would not bet the ranch on either position, because the Bible is not clear on it. One of the biggest questions people have regarding guardian angels, that's what most people like and talk about and are concerned about. Do we have them? As I mentioned, a lot of folks believe that we do. And the passage of Scripture that Paul read in Psalm 91 suggests, yes, we do have guardian angels. He said, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On the hand they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. So there's a comment in Matthew 18:10, take care that you do not despise one of the little ones, for I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. Amy Grant, one of the most popular Christian singers, wrote a song entitled Angels, and here are some of the words. Angels watching over me, every move I make. Angels watching over me. Angels watching over me every step I take. Angels watching over me. God only knows the times my life was threatened just today. A reckless car ran out of gas before it ran my way. Near misses all around me. Accidents unknown. Though I never see with human eyes the hands that lead me home. But I know they're all around me all day and through the night. When the enemy is closing in, I know sometimes they fight to keep my feet from falling. I'll never turn away. If you're asking what's protecting me, then you're going to hear me say, God is angels watching over me every move I make. And I've always believed that, but I believe that you have to ask for your guardian angel from God. So what... In the comic strip Family Circus, little character Billy, he comes home into the house all tattered and torn. He looks like he's been in a wreck, then a fight, and then dragged a couple of miles by a team of runaway horses. And he looks up at his mom and says, do guardian angels ever take the day off? And sometimes I think, yes, they must. There are all sorts of positive accounts out there about angels. For example, in Billy Graham's book, Angels, God's Secret Agents, Dr. Graham tells the story of Dr. S.W. Mitchell, a celebrated Philadelphia neurologist. Dr. Mitchell had gone to bed after an exceptionally tiring day when suddenly he was awakened by someone knocking at his door late at night. Opening, he found a little girl. Poorly dressed and deeply upset, she told him that her mother was very sick and asked him if he would come with her to the house. It was bitterly cold. It was a snowy night, and though he was bone tired, Dr. Mitchell got dressed and went with the little girl. The daughter found the mother desperately ill with pneumonia, and after arranging for medical care, he complimented the sick woman on the intelligence and the persistence of her little daughter. The woman looked at him very strangely and said, "My daughter died a month ago. Her coat and shoes are in the closet right over there." Dr. Mitchell, amazed and perplexed, went to the closet, opened the door, and there in that closet hung the very coat worn by the little girl who had brought the doctor to the house. It was warm, it was dry, it was not wet, and could not have possibly been worn on that winter night. Could the doctor have been called in the hour of desperate need by an angel who appeared as this woman's little girl? Was this the work of God's angels on behalf of this woman? I can't explain it, but I do like to believe that it was an angel had taken that form and come. A woman who says she was prevented from going into a certain building at a certain time, said she was held back by an unseen hand on her shoulder. She looked around, but no one was there. She tried again and was stopped. Whirling around, she saw no one, but then she heard a crystal clear voice speaking to her. "It would not be wise for you to go in there just now." Hours later, she learned that another woman had been murdered in that building just about the time that she would have entered into it. It could have been her. It probably would have been her, she thought. She got down on her knees and gave thanks. An angel? I like to think, yes. But there is a hazard. The biggest hazard in all this fascination with angels is that we can take the focus off of God. The God who created these ministering angels in the first place, the one who loves us and the whole world so much that God's own Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world to redeem us. Twice the angel messenger in Revelation tells John, "Do not worship me. I am a fellow servant with you and your comrades who hold the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. Angels are a sign of God's interest in us, of God's desire to guide us, to help us, to protect us. In the Bible, God uses angels to guide people to begin new ventures, to protect them, to wait, to trust, to help. Angels serve a purpose. And there's no reason to think that God has stopped guiding people that way. Scripture clearly stands on the side of those who believe that angels move among us. All the cultural fascination with angels is not false. My advice, keep your eyes open for angels. Angels of all kinds. Don't be confined just to the ones with wings and halos. Just remember that biblically the word we translate as angel is just as correctly translated as messenger. May a guardian angel be with you this day and for every day of your life. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn on 274, first two verses, "Break Thou the Bread of Life." thank you that you instituted the Lord's Supper for us to remember you and what you've done for humanity, those who will accept your death upon the cross, your resurrection, your ascension into heaven, your care over our lives. We thank you for that love. And it's hard for us to imagine the pain that you went through, the suffering for us. Because at times we don't seem worthy of what you have done for us. But we lay ourselves bare this day, even now, confessing our sins to you. Thank you for giving us that opportunity as Christians. Because we are not perfect human beings, and we still make mistakes, we still go astray. But remind us to confess, get rid of those sins, and be cleansed fully. Thank you for what this means. And may we really feel that something has happened in our lives this day. Thank you for this opportunity, this privilege. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Just remind you again to hold elements to all are served, and young people, communion is up to the parents. On the day our Lord and Savior betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. He said, "This is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." For those with unity and respect, remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that the Lord and Savior is betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Branches. Let us remember that Jesus came into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. "I am the first, and I am the last. I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega. I am the beginning, and I am the end." Let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus.
Before we go to our last hymn, I want to thank the elders for being here to serve communion. It's a part of our tradition in Presbyterian Church, the deacons for preparing it and getting ready and cleaning up, and for Nancy Teggy, who now makes the communion bread. Thank everyone who is involved in any way with this. God bless you. A hymn of response, 244, "The Trees of the Field."
Point you
towards our Heavenly Father and to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that you go out into the world taking the message of love and compassion, and God loves us and God wants to guide us and lead us to the proper life. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.